Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, February the 1st. Did you catch the Democratic presidential candidate debate last night from the Kodak Theater in Hollywood, California? It was billed as a historic event. For the first time ever, a woman and an African-American were paired as the frontrunners for the Democratic Party's nomination for president. It was the first debate between just Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, as John Edwards bowed out of the race earlier this week. He did not endorse either candidate. Do you? We will welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest about the strengths and weaknesses of the Democratic presidential candidates, how they did in the debate last night, how they differ on the major issues, and whether you are sold on the qualities of one of the candidates over the other as we head into Super Tuesday. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email with your question or comment or observation to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Grant Reher, Associate Professor of Political Science at Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University, co-author of Click on Democracy, The Internet's Power to Change Political Apathy into Civic Action. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll go into details, but just first, your overall impression of the debate last night.
Well, I think that the question of who won the debate has an interesting answer, and that I think the answer to that is the ultimate Democratic nominee won the debate, whoever that's going to be, because I think that both of them together provided a very, very unified and strong critique of the Bush administration. They were very, very kind to each other.
Yeah, they were. It was very civil.
Yes, extremely.
Yeah, there were some, pointed remarks. For example, Barack Obama saying, yes, it's important to be prepared from day one when you enter the White House, borrowing a line from the Clinton campaign about her readiness to be president. But he also said it was important to be right on day one.
Correct.
Pointing out his opposition to the war in Iraq from the beginning.
Right. But I think that what each of them tried to do last night is to put forward what they think is their best face. And I think that given the context of the situation, where each of them are right now, and the way they were able to do that, I thought last night the advantage clearly went to Hillary Clinton in terms of the performance. I thought that she was able to make more of that opportunity and the way that they approached it than he was able to.
Yeah. For example?
Well, I think last night, in comparison to many of her other appearances in these kind of venues and also her public speeches, she came across much warmer, more relaxed, humorous at times, informed and competent at the same time. And I think that's the candidate that she's been struggling to present to the voters, is someone who's clearly very competent, clearly has a lot of experience, but also is not as robotic and programmed as she sometimes seems to be. And I thought she really achieved that. I thought, on the other hand, Barack Obama did not have the opportunities and did not take some of the opportunities that were there to be more effective rhetorically, to move large audiences through his rhetoric and through some of the visions that he has for the way that politics might be different. And so I think that in that sense, then, she had the better of it last night.
Yeah. I've also read and watched some analysis this morning that said even, I think it was CNN's Bill Schneider who said it was a draw, but in that case, it being a draw, it was Hillary's win.
Correct. I think several pundits made that observation, and I think that's basically on target, because again, you know, she does have a fairly significant lead in a lot of these states coming up on Super Tuesday, and also again, you know, he is the challenger in a way, and so it's up to him to draw a sharper distinction. And in addition to that, and we can get into some of the details about this, I thought there were many opportunities where he could have drawn sharper distinctions without necessarily coming across as overly negative or nasty in the way that some of their exchanges in the last couple debates have been.
Yeah, don't you think he was effective talking about her vote in favor of the war resolution was effective?
Well, see, that was one that I identified as a missed opportunity. And in fact, it was really, you know, Wolf Blitzer who was the one that really put forward the sharp-edged question of, well, the way that you're explaining this, it seems like you misjudged the president and the likely future policies that he was going to pursue. And I think that there is a case that one might have said, and perhaps this would have come across as sounding too sharply edged, but one might have said to her, in this long explanation here that has gone on quite a long time, it's gone on for a while here, you've gone around the barn about four times here to avoid saying you made a mistake. And what we've been talking about is a new way of doing politics, a new way of dealing with the American public. And here's what I'm concerned about the way you're running your campaign and about what I'm trying to change. And I think he could have done that in an effective way, and he didn't.
Yeah, it was Wolf Blitzer who said then to Senator Clinton, are you saying you were naive?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she jumped into that and, again, provided a very, very long answer. Another observation I'd make just in terms of basic analysis of the way that they each conducted themselves is she dominated the debate. I mean, I haven't seen any data on this morning, but my guess is that her word count was probably about double his. And, you know, he was very polite waiting for his turn, but she really dominated the debate in terms of length of answers and controlling the agenda for the way that they were responding. And again, I thought that played to her strengths last night, particularly in the first half. Not so much the second half, but particularly the first half.
We're talking with Grant Reher, Associate Professor of Political Science at the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University, talking about last night's Democratic presidential candidate debate. The first time it was just Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama squaring off. What did you think of the debate? What questions and thoughts do you have for our guest on the race for president, particularly on the Democratic side? We can touch some on the Republican race, though we concentrated on the GOP side of things yesterday, following the night before last's debate among the Republican candidates. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 18 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, February the 1st. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 4 o'clock, it's Your Views on the News after 4 o'clock. You're invited to call in with your thoughts about the week's most significant news story. We'll review all the news of the week. Coming up after 8 o'clock this morning, it's our regular Friday Week in Review every Friday in our 8 o'clock hour. Right now, we're reviewing last night's Democratic presidential candidate debate between Senators Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. What did you think? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest thinks that Hillary Clinton was the victor in the debate last night. Grant Reher, Associate Professor of Political Science at the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University. Do you agree? Betty in Glendale is with us first. Hi, Betty. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I would like Barack Obama to stress the facts that he taught constitutional law and is well-equipped to address and repair the affronts to our Constitution and the abuses of power by this administration. Just Monday, Bush had exercised more signing statements against the uses of taxpayer money for bases in Iraq, as well as investigation of waste and fraud by war contractors.
Yeah, and do you think Barack Obama's background would be more beneficial than Hillary Clinton's background when it comes to this?
Yes, I do. I think he really reveres the Constitution.
Yeah. Professor Reher?
I think that's a real interesting observation in terms of some of the things that we haven't heard as much about in the campaign as we might have recently. I mean, there's certainly the whole question of Iraq and the response to 9/11 brings up a whole host of issues about not only the conduct of our foreign policy, but the way that we've been dealing with investigations here at home. And really the focus has been more on foreign policy and Iraq, even though you did get a lot of discussion of this earlier on. So I think that the general absence of that discussion is something that the caller, I think, is really making a good point about.
Yeah, thanks very much, Betty, for the call. Talk a little bit about the exchanges last night. I think it was a viewer question that was posed on, I'm a 38-year-old woman,
yep.
And I've always lived with or
yep.
voted for a Bush or a Clinton in the White House. Don't I deserve a change or something like that?
Exactly. I noted that one with some interest, and I put that again in the same category of what I would consider to be opportunities that might have been missed, because that point has come up a lot, not as much as I thought it would in this election, in this campaign. But there really is, when you think about it, from the standpoint of traditional American values when it comes to the resistance of the idea of royalty and inherited political positions, there really is something unique going on in American history. I mean, we go back to 1988, and we really have had two families here. It looks like possibly eight more years occupying the White House. But I think there's another point here, too, though, that it brings up, which is that it's the question of what is the future likely to be under a Clinton presidency looking back to the last Clinton presidency? And one of the things Hillary Clinton last night did was she wanted to wrap herself in the mantle of her husband's presidency, which was being considered last night as generally a positive thing, but then also distinguishing herself from some of the things that he's been saying recently and the conduct of the Clintons more generally politically at various times. And I think there's a point to be made here about the kind of conflict and the kind of bitterness that we saw during the Clinton years, like we see now with the Bush years, and how likely is that to continue under a Clinton presidency. I think that Obama's making that point in an indirect way, saying we need to have a new kind of politics. We need to get away from the old politics that we've had now for the last 15, 20 years. But I think the point could be made a little more sharply, thinking about looking back to the Clinton presidency, a presidency that had a lot of things to recommend it in terms of how the country did, but at the same time, one that basically stalled in scandal and became something that was very, very bitter in terms of our political life. And so I think that's something that could have been made more of. And I thought it was interesting that question came up, and of course, she knocked it out of the park with the one-liner, well, it took a Clinton to clean up after the first Bush. It may take a Clinton to clean up after the second one.
Yeah, it might have been one of her strongest lines.
I think that got the greatest amount of applause and laughter, and she was obviously ready for it. But I think there is an interesting question there that he could have probed a little bit more.
Yeah. Next, we go to Steve in Barron. Hi, Steve.
Hi. So I was wondering if your guest could comment. I think it was yesterday on NPR Talk of the Nation. I think. For about 10 minutes, they discussed how the Democratic Party, the two frontrunners, how Mr. Obama, being African-American, was kind of, there were people in the Democratic Party that just were not going to vote for an African-American. And then likewise for Mrs. Clinton, there were people in the Democratic Party that were just not going to vote for a female. And it was driving people back to the Republican Party. And I was wondering if your guest could comment on that, and then I also was wondering if your guest could comment on who he thought on the Republican side, McCain and the frontrunners Romney, who they would possibly pick as a running mate. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
The second question is a real interesting one. Let me go back to the first one, though. Yes, I mean, clearly, the country has made enormous strides in terms of prejudices and isms, racism, sexism, and it's reflected in the fact that these are the two candidates that the Democrats are choosing between. But at the same time, still, we're not over that completely. It's been central element of our political life since the beginning, and so yes, there's going to be that factor. There are those folks out there. In terms of driving them to the Republican Party, that's going to be the challenge, I think, for whoever the nominee is to deal with that issue. And it's certainly something that's an issue between the two of them as well. I think that the piece of it, I think that in that sense, thinking of it from a Democratic perspective and thinking toward the general election, it's my impression and seems to be backed up by surveys and other polling data that Obama is generates less bitterness and less divisive around these things than Hillary Clinton does. And again, that's something that he might have emphasized more in the debate last night, thinking toward the general election. As far as thinking about the possible nominees on the Republican side and who they might pick, you know, it's going to be a question of balancing for them. They're going to be wanting to think about someone that will fill out what their gaps are in terms of their resume and their strengths, also, though, in terms of different kinds of groups of voters that they would want to appeal to. And so I think in some ways, given that both of them are traditional candidates in a lot of ways, particularly McCain, the field for them in thinking about who would be a good running mate is pretty wide open and generates a lot of different interesting possibilities there that you could just, you know, speculate on for forever.
Yeah, and Rudy Giuliani being a possible one for John McCain?
Possible, yeah, in the sense that, you know, on the one hand, you've got two folks that are generally recognized as more moderate people within the party, particularly Giuliani. On the other hand, you know, a lot of times what you like to do with a vice presidential running mate is they become more of the attack dog in the race. And certainly with Giuliani, you've got someone who's going to be very, very good at that now, maybe even too good. And that obviously has been his problem as a politician in the past and even in this round, too. So that would be an interesting match. And then you've got someone, obviously, from the Northeast who could help you in those states where, if it is Hillary Clinton, she's likely to be very strong. So that's an interesting combination. The other one that comes out of it, not what your caller asked, was the question that came up last night.
Yep.
About Clinton and Obama being running mates for each other.
Well, they didn't rule it out.
Didn't rule it out, but I think here again, to go back to something I mentioned before, the way that I view this in thinking about the calculations is, if Clinton is the nominee, someone like Obama, or Obama, I guess we have to say Obama might help her. If Obama is the nominee, Clinton doesn't help him at all, no. I don't think. It would just add to his problems and introduce this kind of bitterness on the Republican side that he's trying to get away from.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, Republican activists get more agitated about Hillary Clinton than anybody else, and it's a whole other level of agitation.
Yeah.
It's almost 19th century in its intensity, and so I think that if he put her on the ticket with him, he's inviting a whole host of problems and mobilization of the right that he just doesn't want.
Yeah, Lee and Shauna, we have less than a minute before the newscast.
Yes, Joey, I'll make it very quick, dear. Joey, good morning, and your guests. I enjoyed it immensely. It was really great, wasn't it, Joey? The whole, you know, conversation, everything, and they made some beautiful, strong points. I just wanted to relate that I would love to see Hillary, our new president. She's dynamite. The lady is simply brilliant. And I would like to see, I think, to get along beautifully, the two of them, Obama as vice president. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. We will talk a little bit more about that after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio and welcome more of your observations about last night's debate. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Friday, February the 1st. We're analyzing last night's Democratic presidential candidate debate and examining the issues on the campaign trail this week with Grant Reher, Associate Professor of Political Science at the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University, co-author of the book Click on Democracy, The Internet's Power to Change Political Apathy into Civic Action. It was a civil debate last night. Democrats Barack Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton debated each other for the final time before Super Tuesday. The one-on-one forum was held in Los Angeles. Both candidates said that they have policy difference on some issues like health care, but They made a point in the debate to avoid personal attacks. Obama said that he and Clinton were friends before the campaign and will be afterwards. Indeed, a tender hug at the end of the debate. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. What did you think of the debate last night? What do you think about the various issues on the campaign trail this week? In Madison, 263-1890. We're focusing more on the Democratic side of the ticket today, as we did the same thing for the Republicans yesterday. This was the last debate before Super Tuesday, and the first time Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were just paired together. John Edwards bowing out of the race this week, not endorsing any candidates. Professor Reher, where are John Edwards' supporters likely to go?
Well, that's an interesting question, because the folks that supported him, I think, going back to one of your callers' questions before, in terms of groups who might want or not want to vote for either of these two candidates, you know, his constituency has some interesting wrinkles in that, because on the one hand, the clearly Edwards' strength was and his focus was on more working class. He ran a very specifically class-based campaign, and at least in terms of how they were dividing up the votes before Edwards dropped out, those were folks that were tilting more toward Clinton. On the other hand, clearly as the white male candidate, in terms of some of the folks that may have been drawn to him, and in the South in particular, they may have a stronger reaction against Hillary Clinton if offered the choice between the two of these candidates. So it's an interesting thing to consider. And, of course, you know, Edwards hasn't endorsed anybody yet, and that would be a very important thing as well.
Yeah. Do you think he will?
Well, you know, I don't have a good answer to that question. I think it's possible. I'm probably not before February 5th, I would imagine. And I don't think actually on February 5th we're going to have a winner emerge from this. Certainly not in a numerical sense, but I don't think either in a sense of here is the obvious nominee. It's possible that Clinton might emerge from that in that position, but still I think unlikely, particularly given the money that Obama is still able to raise. And so, you know, the important dates looking forward are, first of all, you folks in Wisconsin could be very, very influential on this on the 19th of February. And then beyond that, it may be the 4th of March, where Texas and Ohio both have their primaries. And so in thinking about who the Edwards folks are likely to go to, that could even be more important, thinking about Texas and Ohio. So, but those are real interesting questions about, you know, how the Edwards factor plays out now.
Yeah, speaking of money, I was just seeing on the wire today that Barack Obama's campaign took in a staggering $32 million in the month of January.
Yeah, he's really on an upward tick. You just mentioned in your news story there that McCain had taken in $7 million. So if you think about that, you know, McCain clearly emerging as the front runner on the Republican side, taking in $7 million. And here's a fellow who is not the front runner, but surging on the Democratic side, taking in $32 million. He's running ads and in 20 of the 22 states, and Super Tuesday, Clinton's running ads in 10 of them. Clearly, what this says to me is, you know, he's going to be around after February 5th, unless she just delivers a knockout punch. I mean, if the pundits are right about what the delegate count is looking like, and she gets about 60% of the delegates, you know, because the Democrats use a proportional system, she gets about 60% of the delegates on Super Tuesday, well, you know, he's certainly able to continue the fight on from there. She'll have a pretty good lead, but it will not be a done deal by any means.
Yeah, no January figures yet for Hillary Clinton.
No, I mean, she's obviously been raising money, but I doubt it's been that kind of juggernaut.
Yeah. Well, Kurt in Springbrook, hi, you're on the air.
I read an article last month talking about how most Americans' position on the issues are more in line with Dennis Kucinich's than any other candidate at the time. So I was wondering, I want to ask you guys, what candidate is closer to Kucinich and their position on the issues out of the two? And that's my question. I'll take my answers off the air.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, as far as the first part, the observation, I think what the caller is referring to is what you see a lot of times when you ask voters, or you ask the public very specific questions about what they'd like to see policy look like without necessarily naming things and without necessarily getting into the mechanisms that you would need to pay for them. And they do identify themselves with a lot of those positions, and they do seem to be, for lack of a better term, more liberal than they be than they seem when you ask them other kinds of questions about who they like or how they view themselves in terms of conservative and liberal and those kinds of things. In terms of these two candidates and how they fit next to Kucinich, I think, you know, one of the questioners at the beginning of the debate really nailed this, in that between the two of them, in terms of policy, there's not a lot of difference. I mean, they can talk about whether Obama wants to mandate that everybody get insurance coverage. Clinton wants it. He doesn't. They can talk about some of the differences on the housing crisis. They can talk about some of the differences about whether there's a timetable for withdrawal in Iraq. But when you step back a little bit and look at the basic directions that they want to take policy in, they're very, very similar. And the differences between them are far smaller than whatever changes they're going to have to make when they start dealing with Congress or the things that come up that they can't be aware of now. And so to really answer your caller's question is there a significant difference between them policy-wise in terms of one being more like Kucinich? I don't really think so.
Thank you, Kurt, for the call. I don't know if it needs to be noted, but I will note that Mike Gravel is still in the race. He was not in this debate last night because he's polling like 0%.
Right.
Yeah. Kennedy in La Crosse. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just was listening to you, the analyst, and there's a few things that I think he's not observing very well. One being the fact that the rising of Obama from the position that Clinton was is a very, very, very high rising point, because Clinton started with a very high point, and Obama started with a very low point, actually being considered like a trial for president, not really going to do anything. And the second point is the fact that Clinton is a very big paralyzer when it comes to Republicans versus Democrats. And I think if actually Democrats choose Clinton to be the nominee, they're going to end up losing this presidential bid. But if they choose Obama, they're going to end up actually having more leverage against the Republicans than Clinton. And the more they sit on debating between Clinton and Obama, a lot of people seem to that I contact, I talk to, seem to getting more confident with Obama than Clinton, because she seems to be changing, and always she's just correcting her points of view from the previous choices that she has made, and that makes me even more discouraged when it comes to the point of thinking of who is more ready for the president.
Kennedy, before we have a weather break coming up, when has Hillary Clinton, give me an example, when she has corrected her point of view?
If I'm asked who can do what they are saying more than the other, I would think Obama would do what he promises more than Clinton, because Clinton has been promising one thing and doing another thing. And a good example is she would be out here fighting against Bush in terms of the war. But when she goes back inside, she votes for the war. Yeah. And when it comes to, even when you look at the previous president that she's trying to lean on, when it comes to her husband, it wasn't all that good for her. It actually doesn't give her more points. It actually takes away from her.
Yeah, all right, Kennedy, thanks. I just wanted you to give us an example of how she's changed her positions. But let me check weather, and then we'll get our guest to respond to your points. Grant Reher, our guest, Associate Professor of Political Science at the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University, talking with us about last night's Democratic presidential candidate debate and other issues on the campaign trail in the race for president. 1-800-642-1234. Did you catch the debate? What did you think? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. or talk at WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday, February the 1st, coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll welcome in Dave Berkman, former host of Media Talk on Wisconsin Public Radio, a retired professor of mass communications at UW-Milwaukee, and someone we go to from time to time to critique the media, and we'll critique media coverage of the presidential campaigns in our next hour. And then it's our week in review after 8. Right now, we're critiquing last night's Democratic presidential candidate debate with Grant Reher, Associate Professor of Political Science at the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University. And we have an open line if you want to talk about presidential politics and the race for president, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. If you didn't see the debate, you can also talk some about other developments on the campaign trail this week. John Edwards bowing out. We had the Republican candidate debate night before last. John McCain seems to be on a roll with Rudy Giuliani endorsing him, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, California governor, endorsing John McCain yesterday, too. John McCain's name came up more than a few times in last night's Democratic candidate debate, and we'll talk some about that as well. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. John McCain's name didn't come up from our last caller, but the issue of which of the Democrats would be better positioned to win against the Republican nominee did come up from our caller, and he thought Barack Obama was much better suited to face the Republicans. Mm-hmm. What about that, Professor Reher?
Well, I think that's an important issue. I mean, I don't think the caller was one of those undecided voters that we keep hearing about, but the question of electability in the general election is something that, again, to go back to something I said before, was something that Obama talked about. I think he could have made more of it. He was the one that wanted to try to bring McCain up as much as possible. I mean, here's the problem for the Democrats thinking about Hillary Clinton as their nominee. First of all, when you look at the way that she runs against hypothetical Republican nominees, particularly someone like McCain, Obama does a lot better. And the reason for that is that it's her negative ratings. When you look at Clinton's positive and negatives together, her positives are high, but they're just a little bit above her negatives. And her negatives have been with her all along when you do this kind of surveys and in polling. They're very sticky. They're very deeply held. Obama has a positive to negative ratio of about 2-1. She's almost 1-1. He's 2-1. And so there's a strange way, I think, in which last night she was arguing about this and making this point that I think he could have pounced on more. Her logic basically is this, as far as I understand it. I have been beaten up for so long by the folks on the right. There's been all of this nasty attacks. I can handle it. I'll handle it again in the general election. They've tried to take me down, and they can't. We don't know this about Obama. You hear this a lot from the campaign, too, and the spokespersons for her campaign. You know, here's a guy that really hasn't sustained a bunch of negative ads yet. How's he going to deal with this? It's kind of an odd logic, and because it really points out the fact that whether it's her fault or not, she draws this kind of response. And I think that's something that he could have made more of. The other thing that the caller mentioned was the way the trends are going. Obama's on a surge. Clinton's ahead. I think the way they approached this debate last night was they're both willing to play that hand out and not disrupt that. He's hoping that the trend will lift him over, and on Super Tuesday coming up, she's hoping that she'll maintain her lead. It's like a basketball game where, you know, the clock is running down and there's a 5-point lead, and how do you play that strategy?
Yeah, and if I understood your analysis, it looks like he's going to win some, she's going to win some, and it's not going to be decided after Super Tuesday, at least on the Democratic side.
That's my hunch. Yeah. I mean, here's the key for this is, since it's an accumulation, that the delegates are accumulated on the Democratic side in a proportional way, what they need to do is to obviously, first of all, generate as many delegates as they can. But the second thing is they want to try to win. as many states as they can, because that provides, even though it doesn't necessarily give you all the delegates, it's a powerful statement if you can win most of the states. In that sense, she looks much better than he does, because she's ahead in a lot of the states and a lot of the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
On the Republican side, the way this works, much more likely that McCain could wrap this thing up, because they have more of a winner-take-all system. He's clearly much stronger of a front-runner right now than she is on the Democratic side. So I would think that we may have some closure on that side.
The opposite
sooner.
Of what we thought a month or so ago.
Exactly, yeah.
Joe in Toma, hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I watched the debates last night, and frankly, I was a bit disappointed, because I was really hoping to watch these two beat the crap out of each other.
Are you a Republican or a Democrat, Joe?
I'm a Libertarian.
Okay.
And I tell you, I would love to see Hillary get the nomination, because it would just about guarantee a Republican in the White House.
Well, in a way, the Republican debate was a lot testier than the Democrats.
Right.
And some were saying that maybe it was appeared more unified than the Republicans are.
Yeah, and I think clearly, again, not only is there a calculation last night that each of them is thinking this is the best way for me to put myself forward and to play this, but I think they also are, in a sense, thinking down the road. And maybe they were inspired by Edwards dropping out earlier than he might have. In a sense, you know, Edwards is taking one for the team when he does that, because now the idea of a brokered convention is over. I mean, we won't have a brokered convention, I don't think. So for the Democrats. So that's possible. And certainly also when you ask Republicans, they'd much rather run against Hillary Clinton than Barack Obama. I mean, there's lots of possibilities for them to exploit different weaknesses, but I think they're itching for that fight more than the other one.
Yeah. A caller dropped off who wanted to say it was great to see such civility and was happy to see them playing nice. But given what happened earlier this week, that was quite a change, too. I mean, there was a lot of animosity on the campaign trail on the Democratic side just less than a week ago.
Yeah. I mean, it started with the Clintons, essentially, after mm-hmm. Iowa. I remember on the watching the Iowa returns and some of the analysis, I think it was on CNN, Bill Bennett, the longtime Republican
mm-hmm.
Cabinet officer in other capacities, said, Obama better watch his knees, because, this couple
Goodness.
That he's running against is plays hardball. And he was exactly right. I mean, that's when things got pretty. That's when things got pretty nasty, and it went from there. And then the most recent debate, I mean, they were essentially accusing each other of being sleazy attorneys back and forth.
That's right.
And so it did get pretty down there for a while.
Yeah, and maybe silly, but a lot of attention to the Ted Kennedy endorsement, and then whether or not Barack Obama snubbed Hillary at the State of the Union address.
Yeah. And of course, there was analysis of where she was sitting, what she was wearing. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Yeah.
So.
Let's go to Mark in Romance. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I would just like to revisit the comment that the guest made earlier about the bitterness of the Clinton years. And, this country, given the problems that we have right now, we simply can't afford to be, taking up all kinds of airtime and investigations that will undoubtedly spring up in Congress if Clinton gets reelected or if she gets nominated. And I'm a pretty liberal guy, and I've voted in every single election, and if she becomes the nominee, I really don't know that I could vote for her. I've been so disheartened by their behavior through the recent primaries, and they have raised the issue of race, and it's just a total disservice. So I do worry about just a return to the nastiness of the Clinton years.
Mm-hmm. Professor Rieger?
Well, and I think that's a good observation. And her response, there was a long piece in New York Magazine by someone that was trailing the campaign and had some time talking to her. Her response basically is, look, this is coming. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter whether it's me in the White House or me as the nominee or Obama or somebody else. This is coming, and the person has to be ready to deal with it. And so I think the way that she sees the political world is it's a very bitter, nasty place. She's very Hobbesian about the way that she sees politics, and I think that he's trying to suggest there is a different way to be, and I am the person to try to enact that difference. Now, he's got a limited ability to do that, but I do think the caller makes a very important observation that Democrats are struggling with. How much do we hold this individual person accountable in terms of our vote for what we have seen in the last 15 years that has really turned us off to the way that politics gets conducted? And I think it's a reasonable question for Democrats to be asking.
Yeah. Now, just a minute or so to go, both of the candidates last night, Clinton and Obama, seemed certainly very confident, hopeful that we were looking at one or the other, the next president of the United States.
Yes. I mean, they started that way. They ended mm-hmm. that way. On paper, this general election is the Democrats to lose. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of just looking at the popularity rating of the president, the approval rating of the president, the approval rating of the policies, a Democrat on paper would feel pretty good going into this general election. So I think they are looking at it that way.
Yeah, and you're thinking that if Hillary gets the nomination, it's possible Barack Obama could be the VP choice, but maybe not the other way around?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, you know, last night he said they were friends. I don't know if he's friends with Bill Clinton or will be. But what I was saying is I think that a Clinton-Obama ticket helps Clinton's chances as the president. I don't think an Obama-Clinton ticket helps him at all.
Thank you.
I think that's the point I was making.
We appreciate your time and your analysis. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Grant Reher, Associate Professor of Political Science at the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing The Hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network.